Welcome to You Need Therapy, the Happy People podcast, or in more realistic terms, the mental health podcast for young adults.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. If you are new here, my name is Emily Richard. I am the host of this podcast. I am here to talk about all things mental health and just give my not professional opinion. I am in no way licensed or qualified to be talking about, really anything. But what I do have is my own experience with anxiety, depression, some PTSD, and I've just taken everything that I've learned from therapy, other podcasts, YouTube videos, books, kind of everything like that, and I've kind of consolidated it, and now I'm sharing it here to hopefully help someone else. So that's that. If you are not new here, thank you for coming back and continuing to listen and being a part of this growing family. I appreciate it so much. You guys literally don't know how much it means that that you keep coming back and listening and want to hear me talk. So thank you so much for that. I hope everyone is having a great day. I apologize that, one, this episode is out a day late, and it's out later on Tuesday as well. I apologize. Life has been crazy busy. Yesterday was so busy. Like, let me tell you, it was insane. My to-do list was like 50 miles long. It was a long day. And then I was gonna power through and record really late at night after I'd finished everything else. But then, and I'm sharing this because I try to be as real as possible with you guys on here, I just straight up had a mental breakdown. It was only for like 10 minutes and then I was absolutely back to vibing, but it was a solid like sobbing mental breakdown for no reason. I was literally fine, but my body thought otherwise and just said breakdown. So that's what happened last night. And it was actually kind of funny because, like I said, it was like a good 10 minutes of a breakdown, and then my body literally just stopped producing tears, and I felt great, and I felt productive and energized again. It was quite odd, I'm not gonna lie. The snaps that my friends got during that good 10 minute period was, they all said it was quite entertaining to see the series of different Snapchats that they got. But anyway, that. So getting into the episode, if you are new here, I start every episode off with what I call my life breakdown, and that's basically just sharing what's been going on since I last talked to you guys. As always, if you want to share what's been going on since we last talked, or what's going on in general, or if you need any advice, or if you just want to say, hey, my Instagram is always linked in the description of the episode as well as the description of the podcast, and I absolutely love it when you guys send me messages on there. It warms my heart. It makes my day. And super exciting news. I created an Instagram for the podcast. Specifically, I'm growing and I'm actually creating socials. I'm also going to be creating a TikTok account and possibly a YouTube channel for the specific podcast. And once I make the TikTok and the YouTube, I will link those as well. But I will still be linking my personal Instagram because I love when you guys shoot me messages on there too, but I will also now be linking the podcast Instagram because I created it. It was also, if you notice, we have a new profile picture for the podcast. The podcast got a little upgrade, and I'm really excited about it. Shout out to my mom for taking the pictures. Thanks, Mom. But yeah, so that's super exciting stuff. So I will be linking the podcast Instagram now as well. So, yay. Okay, so into the life breakdown. First of all, and the most important update, I bought Harry Styles tickets. Yeah. So, it was pretty, a quite impulsive buy. And my bank account is not happy about it at the moment. But I, bought Harry Styles tickets with my best friend, Katie. If you're listening to this, I love you so much. Katie and I are going to see Harry Styles in Tacoma in November. I was like, she actually saw Harry Styles in concert in Denver And I was, like, super jealous. I actually wanted to cry. But, because I was looking at tickets for Atlanta, because I live in Atlanta. And it was, like, $500 for, like, the nosebleed seats. And I was like, okay, well, I just don't have that money. So I was super sad. And then just on a whim, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to look at the other states. Like, we're just going to see. So I was scrolling through all of them. They were all obnoxiously expensive. And then I stumbled upon Tacoma, Washington. And those tickets for, like, actually good seats were insanely cheap. And so I texted Katie, like, immediately. And I was like, hey, what are you doing in November? Like, what's your schedule in November look like? She's like, why? And I was like, Harry Styles is going to be in Tacoma November 7th. And do you want to go again? Like, I knew it wasn't going to be hard to convince her to go see Harry Styles a second time. So I knew she would say yes. And she did. Thank God. Thank you so much for coming with me, Katie. So we're going to see Harry Styles. We got the concert tickets. We got our plane tickets. And, you know, hotel. We are literally flying in the morning of the 7th, which is the day of the concert, going to the concert, and then flying out on the 8th. So, super little spontaneous trip, super impulsive buy. No regrets, though. I'm so excited. It's going to be so much fun. And, yeah. So, that's the most important part to update you guys about. On that note as well, who out of here has seen the Don't Worry, Darling teaser? Because I'm freaking out about it. I have watched that teaser trailer an unhealthy amount of times. Because if you know me, you know I, one, love Harry Styles, obviously. Two, love Florence Pugh. She is probably my favorite actress. And so that teaser dropped. And, like, I kid you not, I screamed. Like, I fangirled hard. So, if any of you have watched that, please DM me and let's talk about it. Like, please. Okay, moving on. I already told you guys I created Insta. I'm creating a TikTok and YouTube channel for the podcast. I'm super excited about that. But also, please message me either on my personal Instagram or the podcast Instagram now. And, like, give me ideas for what kind of videos you would want to see on the TikTok account as well as the YouTube channel. Like, would you want to see tips? Would you want to see, like, day in the life, morning routines, night routines? Like, what I eat in a day, like, intuitive eating, meditation, like, workout, yoga, you know, like, a de-stress, like, whatever. Like, give me ideas for what you guys would personally want to see, because I want to make sure I'm creating content that is, you know, enjoyable to watch and what you're wanting to see. So please message me and give me ideas for what I should make on those. And I'm super excited. My recording sessions for the podcast are going to start as of next week. I'm going to start recording them on the camera, and I'm gonna post those on the YouTube channel, so those will definitely be on there, which I'm excited about, because you guys will get to see how absolutely neurotic I am when I am recording these. Like, I don't sit still. It's bad. Anyway, so yes, so please send in your ideas for that. I wanted to give a little. So if you listened to last week's episode, I talked about making sure you take rest days and making sure you allow yourself to be lazy so that you don't become burnt out, because I was struggling with that last week. I want to come on here and fully say, besides the little breakdown last night, having that restful weekend helped like an unbelievable amount. I am back on, like, full on girl boss mode. I've been super productive, getting up earlier. I've been wanting to eat healthy, wanting to work out. So when I tell you being lazy and resting is one of the best things that you can do for your body, I mean it. So please make sure you do that. This is your reminder that if you haven't given yourself a little break, give yourself a break. Thank you. Do some ASMR. Okay, what else do I need to update you on? Oh my gosh, you guys. So my doggo, her name is Sadie. She is 5, and she grew up in a house with a full fenced backyard. Didn't really have other, like, you know, interaction with other dogs. She was in our backyard. We would take her on walks, but, like, she had the whole backyard to run around. It was a really big backyard. So she was used to that. Then in May, my mom and I and our dog moved to an apartment in Georgia. And so we have to take her on walks 3 times a day. And obviously there's people and other dogs. She's the sweetest puppy, but she's like an asshole. And she like barks at people. We got that fixed. She doesn't bark at people anymore. But one, she like pulls super bad when she walks, like horribly pulls. And when it comes to other dogs, when she sees another dog on a walk, she goes absolutely nuts. Like, she starts spinning around, she starts barking, and it's like a whiny bark. Like, she wants to go and play with them, and like she gets neurotic, and then she's neurotic for the whole rest of the walk. Like, she's wired after that. And so it's super frustrating because walks aren't peaceful, and we're like have to go at the weirdest times of day to like make sure that we don't run into anybody else taking their dogs on a walk. And it became like a whole, every walk was like a spy mission, and it was really obnoxious. So we found a training program to send her to get her trained. So it's just easier for us. Cause like, you have to think basically how she grew up with like by herself in a backyard, just vibing. Like, that's so imprinted in her brain. So now this like is a whole new thing, and those habits that she grew up with are imprinted in her brain. So it's really hard to break those habits. So like, we tried so hard, we just couldn't do it on our own. So I found a training program to put her into. Unfortunately, because those habits are so hardly imprinted in her brain, we had to go for a 4-week training program, which is great. It's the guy, super nice. Like, I 100% trust him. He's so nice to Sadie, but that means I don't get to see my dog for 4 weeks. And we had to drop her off yesterday, and it was literally so sad. Like, it was like dropping off my baby, like that I had created myself. Like, I was dropping my dog off, and I was sobbing, like full on sobbing. So I really miss Sadie. But I know we get to go visit her at the 2-week mark, which is good. But I really miss her, and so we had to do that last night. But I know she's having a great time, and she's learning, and hopefully she's going to be so much more behaved when she gets back, and like, which will be better on everyone, and we'll be able to actually go and do fun stuff, like take her to the dog park and take her to the, you know, farmer's market, or, you know, like do actually fun stuff, hopefully. So I think that's all my little updates for the life breakdown. So we are going to go ahead and get into the episode. So this week's episode, if you have not read the title of it, is we're talking about dating with anxiety. Oh my goodness. This topic, I have a lot to say on this topic. So basically, I wanted to talk about this topic because my mother and I had a very in-depth conversation out at dinner on Saturday night about dating with anxiety, because both my mom and I are single. Woohoo! Dating with anxiety is like the worst thing ever. So basically, the conversation with my mom was like, we were talking about dating apps. So I'm on dating apps, but my mom's not, because she's like, I just don't meet anyone like that. And to be fair, I don't either. I absolutely despise dating apps. I don't know why I'm still on there. But I also like attention. So, you know, that is what it is. But we're talking about how horrible it is talking about anxiety. Talking about anxiety, how horrible it is dating with anxiety. Not talking about anxiety. But it can be hard to talk about anxiety as well. So basically on this podcast, we've talked about anxiety and what it is. We've also talked about dating with trauma and abuse history. So basically now we're merging those two things and we're talking about dating with anxiety. So basically, I made a little list of kind of things that you might experience on dating with anxiety and then how we might overcome them together. And in no way am I an expert on this topic, because this is something I struggle with as well, which means that we are in this together and we are working through this together, which I really hope makes you feel better that you have issues dating with anxiety. Because I know that's something I'm like super self-conscious about almost. So hopefully it's comforting to you to know that you're not alone and we're working through this together. So let's work through it together. So first, the toughest part about dating with anxiety for me is that I'm constantly thinking about whether they actually like me or not. No matter if they're the one to ask me out, no matter if they're like initiating everything the whole date, like it doesn't matter. I'm constantly on the way home gonna be like, oh my god, like they actually really hate me. They were super annoyed with me, like blah blah blah, etc. I'm the worst, you know? That's always on my mind. And that's not even just with dating, like that's with friendships too. Even my friends that I've had for years, I'm like, if there's a singular like change in their tone and the way they text and like the way their Snapchats are coming out, I'm like, oh my god, they hate me and they don't want to be my friend anymore. That's something that you really struggle with anxiety. I feel like that's kind of a pretty standard, like most people with anxiety have those intrusive thoughts. So when it comes to dating, you're like, oh my god, they actually hate me. You know, like I know there's those jokes on Instagram, or not on Instagram, on like there's like the memes on social media of like me at the altar on my wedding day. Do you still like me? Like like are you sure? Like that's my brain constantly. It's really a struggle. So like that's something that's really hard when you're dating as a person with anxiety. Number two, online dating. For me, and I don't know if I'm alone on this, but online dating apps, I'm constantly thinking about like if this person is actually a serial killer. Like I'm a person that watches Criminal Minds religiously and like true crime documentaries, and I listen to true crime podcasts like constantly. That's almost all I'm ever watching or listening to. And so when I'm on these dating apps and they're like, do you want to go out? I'm like, no, because like literally you could murder me or kidnap me or the like, you know. So I constantly have that. I'm like matching with a serial killer thought that creeps into my brain. And I know probably majority of the time, that's not actually the case. That's not even close to the case. But, like, it's still, that thought still creeps in there. And I'm like, oh, my God, death. So, you know, that's a fun little intrusive thought that comes up when you're dating with anxiety, especially when it comes to dating apps. But I feel even if you meet someone in person and then they ask you out on a date, like, I feel like you can still think that because, like, you have no idea if they, you know, are spotted you and are like, yep, that one. That one's the next target. Like, you know, you never know. And so that's super, super scary. And I hate that about dating. I really need to, like, chill on the true crime documentaries. It's just so many intrusive thoughts. Okay. Moving on. My third point. And this is pretty specific to, like, meeting someone on a dating app. But I feel like that's how most people meet anyone, and like, nowadays. So, I feel like most people can relate. So, like, this is especially, like, I know this is a personal instance, but I know that there's other people that kind of feel this. So, like, you match with someone, right, on whatever dating app, and you start talking, and, like, you really hit it off. You're texting, you're messaging, you're, you know, snapping, whatever. Like, you're really hitting it off, and you have a lot in common, and you're talking back and forth, blah, blah, blah. And then they actually ask you out on a date, and you're like, oop, nope, back out. This is my worst. This is, like, my biggest character flaw. Like, I absolutely adore the attention. I'm not even gonna lie to you guys. I am an attention whore, and I will fully admit to that. But I love the attention, like, I'm getting from this person, like, we're talking, and then they're like, oh my god, do you want to go out on a date? And I'm like, oh my god, I would literally rather do anything else. Like, I don't want to meet you in person and chat. And, you know, it's like, it's more of an anxiety thing with when I'm like, I'm really hitting it off with someone. But then when I also match with someone that I'm, like, a little iffy about, and then we're not really getting along, but I don't know how to say no to things and block people and just stop talking to people because I'm such a people pleaser that I keep talking to them, and they're like, do you want to go out? And I'm like, oh my god, yeah, like, let me check my schedule. And then I'm like, oh, I'm busy that day. And then they, like, try to reschedule, and I'm like, I'm so sorry, something came up. Like, this is my biggest character flaw, you guys. I'm not shitting you. But it's, one, comes from, I'm a people pleaser and I do not know how to say no. So if you relate to that, I am so sorry. It is the worst thing. Two, it comes to, if I'm really getting along with someone and really hitting it off, I'm like, oh my god, I'm gonna mess it up in person. So I'm not gonna go. And then I delete all the dating apps and I, like, remove all the people from my Snapchat, and I just basically turn into a hermit again. Like, that's how it goes. This is that kind of cycle that I'm stuck in when it comes to dating, because I have such bad anxiety about, I'm gonna screw it up. I also have, I'm a very extroverted introvert. So, like, I can act like I'm super confident, and I can act like I'm super outgoing and, like, wanna go do things 24/7. But half the time, I just wanna stay at home and watch Criminal Minds. Like, that is literally my only personality trait. And so I'm, like, fine talking to people, but then they actually want to go out and do things, and I'm like, ooh, I already have plans in my bed with, like, a pizza, you know? That's what happens. That's what goes through my brain. And so, like, I feel that probably a lot of you can relate, because I feel like if you're listening to this podcast, you probably are a lot like me and most people with anxiety. So, you know, that's kind of where we're at when we're dating, you know? The other thing that makes it so hard to date with anxiety is that people with anxiety tend to have smaller and easier to drain social batteries. So, say, and I know this is, like, especially in bigger groups, but it also pertains to dating. So, like, I know for me and for my best friend, again, Katie, shout out to you. We love it. we have really, really small social batteries. So we'll, like, go out and do something, say, once a week, like, go to some event, go to a party, go out to dinner or something. Like, you go out and you're, like, an hour in, and then your social battery is just completely drained. Like, you just don't want to talk to anyone anymore. You don't want to be around anyone. You don't want to even laugh at jokes. You just want to go home. So your social battery is completely drained, and then it takes, like, a full week to recharge, because of how, when you have anxiety and, you know, and you struggle with depression, you're kind of an introvert, it's so mentally exhausting and it's so mentally draining to socialize. And so when it comes to dating, that's really mentally exhausting, because the fact is that when you're dating, essentially you're trying to, like, sell yourself. Like, you are, like, what makes you good dating material, you know? Like, you're selling yourself the whole evening, you know, talking yourself up, trying to laugh at jokes that aren't funny, which, freaking stop laughing at jokes that aren't funny. Especially if it's for a man. No offense to the men listening to this podcast, but I can't tell you how many times I've laughed at a man's jokes just to get him to like me more when it's not funny. Like, No, we don't need to boost their ego. We don't need to save their ego and comfort it, you know? So, little reminder, don't do that. Anyway, you know, so that dating is super mentally exhausting. And I don't know if this is just me, but even that, like, talking part, like, even if it's not in person, even if it's over text or Snapchat or whatever, like, that's mentally exhausting too. Especially if they're one of those, like, just, I don't know how to explain this. But when they respond in like a second, and you can tell that they don't do anything with their day. You know, I don't know if this is just me, but I've had so many men that it's just, they're at their phone the whole day, and they expect you to be at your phone the whole day, and that's just super, super draining. And I feel like I'm going off into a little bit of a tangent, but I just wanted to say that is like, that's the biggest turnoff for me, is when they don't have ambitions or goals, you know? You feel? Okay. Anyway, that little vent is over. But dating is super mentally draining. The talking phase. Let's talk about the talking phase. The talking phase is horrible. That's the freaking draining part. Again, is you're trying to sell yourself. You're trying to, and especially if you're a people pleaser and you don't even like really like this person, but you don't know how to say no. So then you're like just talking to them just to not be a dick. Like, and that's so draining. Even if you don't have anxiety, the talking stage is horrible. Like having to tell a stranger again all about yourself and like hoping that they like it. And like then having to learn about this and then gauging when it's like okay to talk about certain things. And like you don't want to be too deep right off the bat, but you also like don't want to waste your time. And then like it's just you're like uncomfortable and it's not just like random comfort. Like it's super, super draining being in the talking stage. It's horrible. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I absolutely hate small talk. Like, I hate it so much. Like, yes, I know it's vital to learn about their favorite color and, you know, their favorite food. But, like, I want to talk about deep stuff. Like, let's trauma bond. Let's talk about aliens, you know? Like, that's just, like, interesting conversations to me are how you truly get to know someone, not their favorite color. You know what I mean? So yeah, the talking stage is horrible because it's usually small talk and it's usually having to completely, you know, restart, which is just, it gets frustrating sometimes and it's super draining. So those are kind of some of the points of why dating with anxiety is horrible. So if you relate to any of those and you didn't know you had anxiety, you might have anxiety. So now let's get into the tips of how we can make it better. And again, I'm not an expert because I need to listen to these things. Like I need to take my own advice that I'm giving out right now, but I'm also super horrible at that. So that probably won't happen, but I really hope you guys take my advice. Okay, so my first tip is to not force yourself into dating if you are not fully mentally ready for it. So if you are not in the mental state to date, please don't date just because everyone else is doing it. You know, just because maybe all your friends are in relationships, you're like, oh, well, I have to date anyway, because like everyone else is, you know, and I don't want to feel left out. I don't want to be like the weird single friend. You're not the weird single friend. You're just the friend, like you're just you. You're still you, whether you have someone attached to your hip or not. Like it doesn't, relationships do not define your worth. So please remember that, that just because all your friends may be in relationships, it doesn't make you weird. It doesn't make you, you know, the odd one out. Like, it doesn't change anything. It just means that, you know, a relationship was supposed to come into their lives sooner than it was yours. Like, you just haven't met, you know, someone that you clicked enough with to fully be in a relationship. And that's okay. Do not date if you do not feel ready to date. If you are focusing on yourself, that is incredible. If you're focusing on your career, if you're focusing on school, if you're focusing on just bettering yourself, that is so great. And I applaud you for that. And you should keep doing that until, you know, then maybe one day you wake up and you're like, wow, I've really improved myself. I've really gotten to the point in my career that I really wanted. Oh my God, you know, like I'm to the point in school where I feel confident enough, and now I want to add another person into that. You know, because your life changes completely, I feel like, when you have another person linked to you. You know, because when you're by yourself, when you're single, you don't have to worry about anyone else. You worry about you. You go out on your own terms. You go, you know, you don't have to let your partner, like, know that you're going out. You can have whatever friends you want. You can flirt shamelessly with whoever you want. You know, you don't have to, you know, have this other person in the back of your mind constantly when you make any decisions. And I know that puts like a kind of a damper on dating. Dating is great. Having a person in your life that you care about that much to be in a relationship with is so wonderful. But again, it's also a big change from being single. And so you should be mentally ready to do that, you know? So please, if you just want to focus on yourself, just focus on yourself. There's absolutely no shame in that at all. Because you're incredible. Number two, don't go out if you don't feel ready. Like, literally, like, go out. Especially with dating apps, people want to go out right away. And that triggers my anxiety so badly. Like, again, that's why I back out. Because I don't know what it is with dating apps, but, like, you match with them, and then they're like, so when are we going out? And you're like, sir, I don't know you. Like, this, ma'am, this is a Wendy's. Like, you literally don't know anything about this person, and they're like, let's go out tonight. And you're like, whoa. Stop. Like, they want to go out right away. And that super duper triggers my anxiety. Like, I need to at least know a little bit about a person before I go out with them. Like, just a little bit, you know? So, like, if you don't feel ready to go out with this person, do not go out with that person. Please, do not let this be a people pleaser situation. Like you don't know these people. You have to be careful. And that kind of gets me into my next point of drop your location with a friend, with a loved one, with, you know, whoever you feel comfortable with, whoever you are, like, is your, like, safety person. Drop your location with them when you go on dates. This is a safety thing, because someone else should know where you are. Someone that is in reach of you should know where you are. And, like, that's not to scare you or make your anxiety worse about dating. Like, unfortunately, especially if you are female identifying, it's like, it's a problem. It really is, unfortunately. And I hate to say that, but, like, we have to be careful. Drop your location, invest in pepper spray, invest in a taser. You can get all these things on Amazon, and drop your location. Be safe. My favorite safety app is called Noonlight. Basically, it's a button, and you can press it down and hold it, like, till you're walking to your car, until you get to your car safely. Basically, if you are going from one location to another, and it is in possibly putting you in danger in any way, you press and hold the button. Once you release the button, it gives you 10 seconds to put in a passcode that you create, to basically stop the alarm or whatever. If within that 10 seconds you do not put in your passcode, it sends your location to the police as well as your emergency contacts, and basically notifies them that you are not safe and that there is a problem, and it automatically will send first responders to your location. So it's a really good app. It's a super safe app. It can be used for, you know, dating situations, but it can also be used in any, like, when I was in high school, I would go to the library to do homework, and I would be there pretty late because the library didn't close till 9, and so I would be there until closing, and then obviously at 9, it's dark, and the parking lot was, like, kind of a bit of a walk, and it was across the way, and I was alone, and it was dark out, and again, I'm a female identifying female bodied human being, and so I would press and hold this button until I was, like, locked in my car. I had pepper spray on my keys, as well as I hold my key in between my fingers. Just some safety tips, just because we really do have to be careful. Unfortunately, as horrible as that is, we have to take safety precautions. So, especially for dating with dating apps with people you do not know, invest in pepper spray, invest in a taser, invest in Noon Light. It's free. You don't have to invest in that, but get Noon Light, or, you know, there's tons of other safety apps. And then also drop your location to someone that you trust and that is near, when you're going on a date. And, like, give them little updates, give them little check-ins, like, hey, it's going well. Hey, it's going really, it's, like, going great. This is perfect. You don't have to worry about me anymore. Hey, it's not going so great. Maybe I'm a little uncomfortable. Hey, you know, maybe you can come here and, like, just keep an eye, you know, like, give them little updates. And if you're not feeling comfortable, one, text them; two, leave if you're not feeling comfortable. I cannot stress this enough to either take an Uber to dates or drive yourself to dates. Do not get picked up by that person on a first date. If you have been dating this person for a while, sure, it's fine if they pick you up. If this is the first date, have your own form of transportation. Do not have them pick you up and drop you off. You do not know this person. That is a big safety hazard. Another big thing to know about is, and I'm sure most of you do because it's all over social media, but especially if you are going to dates at bars, know what the angel shot is. If you don't know what the angel shot is, basically you go up to the bartender, you order an angel shot, and that's basically a signal giving to them that, hey, I'm not comfortable with my date that I am with or with the person that I am with. And there's different ways to order it. If you look it up, it's all online. And usually if you're going to bars, it's actually, there's like a paper hung up in the bathroom usually, letting you know, like, the different ways to order it. And it'll basically let them know that, like, hey, I need someone to walk me into my car. Hey, I need the police involved. Hey, you know, like, stuff like that. Super helpful, super great safety tip. So if you're going to dates at bars, know what the angel shot is. Okay, so that's my little safety tip for dating, especially with anxiety, because that's something I super duper worry about, and I know probably a lot of you do too, unfortunately, but we gotta be safe, and we gotta look it up for each other, right? Right. Okay. My fifth and my favorite tip, if you don't feel ready to date, like we've talked about, get comfy with being single. Embrace being single. I know it can suck sometimes, especially with the fact that cuffing season is coming up, y'all. The holidays are coming up. It is officially getting into cuffing season. And I know that's the worst season to be in, being single. But embrace being single. Get comfortable with being single. Absolutely adore being single, because when you really, really sit down and think about it, it's a wonderful thing. Like, it is a gift to be single. You can, you know, focus on you. You can focus on school, your friends. You can focus on your career. You can live without another person attached to you. And when you get into the right relationship, it's easy to live without a person attached to you. But if you're dating and you're not ready, it becomes, you know, a bit of a nuisance, I feel. So embrace being single. Love being single. go do things with your friends. Go do things by yourself. Like, that's kind of my biggest tip is really, and I know it's hard with anxiety, but try to push yourself to go do something by yourself. Even if that's going to like a park and reading. Even if that's going to a coffee shop and doing some work. Even if that's just going to a coffee shop and ordering a coffee and then leaving. Take baby steps to get comfortable with yourself. Know yourself. Explore, like, what's it like to just be you and not rely on another person. Explore, like, in your brain, like, what do you really like to do? What do you really not like to do? Let's get a little PG-13. Explore your own sexuality. Like, what do you like and dislike? Because then, once you know that, when you eventually get a partner, it's so much easier to communicate that to them. And then it's much more enjoyable for everyone. So, you know, explore, know yourself, really snuggle down into being single and try your best to embrace it. And the more that you can do that and the longer that you can do that, the more confident in it you're going to get. And then the more you are going to absolutely thrive. And just remember that you are awesome and you don't need to date to, you know, have value because you are so incredibly perfect on your own. And please always remember how loved and important and just incredible you are because you are. And if you haven't been told that today, I love you so much. I absolutely adore you and you matter. So please always remember that. So with that being said, I believe that this brings us to the end of this week's episode. I absolutely adore all of you again, and I hope you enjoyed this episode and you found it helpful, and you found it helpful to know that, trust me, you're not alone with feeling anxiety with dating, and that's totally normal. Again, I created an Instagram for the podcast, so make sure to check that out and send me messages on there. I'm also creating a TikTok and a YouTube account for the channel, and those will probably be live by next week. So yeah, I look forward to all of that. Please share the podcast with family, friends, whoever you might think would like it. Send me messages on Instagram. I absolutely adore all of you, and I will talk to you next week.